If you're here on YouTube and you haven't already, please make sure you go ahead, click that like, that subscribe, that notification bell. Make sure you're kept up to date whenever we drop new content on the channel. If you want the audio-only version of the podcast, open up your audio podcast platform, hit the search bar, type in The Format Podcast, and we should come right up. If you're enjoying the content, make sure you give us that like, that five-star review, and drop a comment. All that stuff helps us rise in the algorithm, helps us find more sports fans, helps more sports fans find us. And finally, make sure you write it down, put it in your phone, set an alarm, do whatever you got to do to remember. Saturday nights at 7 p.m., we are live here on The Format Podcast, and we'll give you the opportunity to call in, talk to us, get at me. I love it. I can't wait.
I get called a LeBron hater a lot, right? And one thing that I know I can take pride in is the fact that in all the time I've talked about this dude, I have never once told a lie about him. And one of the things that I always point to when people say, you're a LeBron hater, you're just a hater, the first thing I always ask them is, well, what did I say that wasn't true? That's the first question I always ask. What did I say that wasn't true? They can never tell me. There's never an answer. Why is that? Because the things that I say, I can always back it up with facts. I'm big on that. And by the way, if you just popped in the chat, please make sure you like the channel. And also let me know where you're coming in from. All I do is I talk about the things that he has shown us over the past two plus decades. I talk about the things that he tells us that don't add up. And I get it if you're a fan of the guy. He's had an all-time great basketball career, and he has given countless hours of entertainment to the people who are fans of his and who love basketball over the last 21 years. I get it. But the fact is, he continually gives us this stuff to talk about. And if it seems like if I don't worship him with every comment, or I have the nerve to criticize him, then it supposedly makes me a hater. I don't get that. But it is what it is, and I still have to do what I have to do. And that's tell it how I see it, but make sure how I see it is rooted in truth. And I'm very big on that. And the fact is this, the major sports media has been conditioned to treat this guy like he's some flawless player and some flawless person. I'm not saying he's a bad person. I'm not saying he's a bad player, but they've been conditioned to treat him as if he is flawless so that the viewer and the listener is also conditioned to see him in the same way. Brilliant marketing. Anyway, about a month ago, I did a show, and I was giving my thoughts on the new podcast that he was starting with JJ Redick called The Mind the Game Podcast, which I can honestly say is a pretty decent podcast. I've watched it, but we'll get there. I don't have a problem with LeBron doing a podcast, but when I found out he was doing that, I knew exactly what it was going to be, and I did a show telling you guys what it was going to be, and I got called a hater, as usual. Cool. But if you actually watch the show, every episode is a celebration of him and another chance to push the pro LeBron narrative, the propaganda. Now, let me say this again. It's not actually a bad show at all. And I'm not going to lie. I've actually learned some basketball concepts from him, more so thanks to JJ, because at the beginning of the show, he diagrams out some different concepts and he shows them. And during the show, when they're talking, they actually put the definitions of the terminology that they're using on the bottom of the screen. And I think that's cool. Not this past episode, but last week's episode, I watched it. And then I was actually watching an NBA game and I was like, oh, there that is. I think it was the ghost screen concept. And I hadn't heard it referred to by that that way before, but I was like, okay, there it is. So I'm watching the show. I'm actually picking stuff up. And I think that's cool from a basketball perspective. Now, I think if you're going to watch the show, you have to know what you're going to get from this guy. And you just got to accept that that's what you're going to get from this guy. And that's because why? He just can't help himself. He just can't. And so much of what he says on the show, if you watch it, it's just tooting his own horn. It's crazy. I can do this. I can do that. Other guys in our league can't do this. Other guys in our league can't do that. And I can't understand why. And it's so unnecessary. I just don't get it. So for years, one of my biggest gripes with LeBron has been, despite everyone telling us how great he is and so many people telling us that he's the GOAT, fans and media alike, he has never had enough help. If you know me, I've been saying this for a long time now. He never has enough help. But it's a fact that he's played with the most Hall of Fame talent, the most all-star talent, but he's never had enough help, right? And one of the reasons why he left Cleveland the first time is why. Let him tell it. Let Nick Wright tell it. Let Shannon Sharpe tell it. Because they didn't put enough help around him. right? That's what they tell us. Cleveland didn't put enough help around him. And that's interesting because his first 7 years, the Cavs won 50-plus games four times and 60-plus games twice. One of those was a high of 66 games in 2008. And that roster was good enough for that, but they never put enough help around him. Interesting. But okay, let's say in that situation he didn't have enough help. That's fine. Fine. So he makes the decision. You all know the decision. He goes to Miami, and he has his super team ready. And he goes and he joins D-Wade and Chris Bosh, and he forms a big three that completely shifted the balance of power in the East. I thought that was a weak move then. I said it then, and I still do, because he didn't want to get it out of the mud like the champions before him. But whatever. Everyone isn't built the same, and times change and things change and they evolve and so on and so forth, right? I had this debate with my Uncle Ron last week, and he calls me, he tells me, would you say that things evolve or would you think that they always stay the same? And yes, things evolve. Now, because things evolve doesn't always make them better, but so be it. Anyway, the crazy part is this. That big three, LeBron, D-Wade, and Bosh, it was actually supposed to be even bigger than it was. Why is that? Because it was originally supposed to be Carmelo Anthony instead of Chris Bosh, but he signed his extension with the Knicks. He took his money, and that's how Chris Bosh ended up with the Heatles. So we know what happened there. So anyway, Miami gets to the finals 4 years in a row. LeBron played great throughout that whole stretch, except, of course, for those infamous 2011 NBA Finals, right? And you know those where we saw him get outplayed by J.J. Barea and Jason the Jet Terry and, of course, Dirk Nowitzki. So now I know I'm rehashing old history here, but I'm just giving some backup. And I know LeBron fans don't want to hear it, but he'll never be able to live that down. If there's no other reason why he'll never be the GOAT, it's that alone. But next, this is not necessarily a GOAT argument. This is more talking about LeBron proving me right every time. So remember what I said earlier in this show about his new podcast with JJ Redick being heavy on the LeBron propaganda? Right? Remember that? Okay, cool. So LeBron set that Heatles team up and it was crazy top heavy, but then he had the nerve to say this.
Before we talk more spacing, I want to touch on one last thing with the Heat. And that is, I feel like in the NBA, the phrase super team or the term super team is a little bit of a misnomer, because you can have a big three, right? You still need four or five ancillary role players,
absolutely,
who star in their role and then complement the stars.
No question about it.
And it doesn't work. It doesn't work unless you have those guys. And you've lived it multiple times.
I've lived it. I mean, obviously my first year in Miami, yeah, we had a big three. And everyone said it's a super team. Super team or super team that. But we had to build our team around all minimum guys, which was still okay. But we didn't fill out the complimentary guys enough. Yeah, we had Rio. We had Udonis. You know, but we didn't have enough as far as enough complimentary guys to actually make it all work. And we still made it to the finals. And we still probably should have won the finals, but I still give credit. You listen, it is what it is. You win and you lose, and we lost. Just know Dallas was fucking good, and they hit a stride at the right time. Dirk was unbelievable. But my second year, we was able to grab some complimentary players and role players that really just, I'm talking about superstars in their roles.
Yeah, so is this guy serious right now? Is he really? Who doesn't know that a team needs chemistry and needs role players filling their roles to win a championship? Every great team had that, and every great team knows that. But this goes back to, again, LeBron didn't want to do the hard work. He didn't want to do the heavy lifting. He didn't want to get it out of the mud. So he figures, okay, I'm just going to put these elite players together, and you know, I'm going to take the easy way to the chip. But when he was up there talking about not one, not two, not three, all the way to seven, he wasn't thinking about that. All he was thinking about was trying to get to it the easy way, right? And so all he was thinking about was stacking the deck to avoid that struggle. And now he proves out of his own mouth what I've been saying for years. He never has enough help. But I'm a hater, right? Cool. Every time this guy loses, it's someone else's fault and there's something missing. If you watch basketball, if you watch the NBA, if you listen to LeBron, this is not my opinion. This is what he tells us. So he's there and he's agreeing with the same thing that's made me a hater all these years. Okay, next. So here's something that I had no idea about that totally shocked me when I found out. So Dwayne Wade has a podcast now. Everyone has a podcast, right? You're watching and listening to one right now. But he has a podcast now. And on one episode, he had Chris Paul as a guest. Now we know Chris Paul, I think he's fourth or fifth all time in assists, maybe third. And he is headed towards being a Hall of Famer. Chris Paul is an all time great point guard, right? So he was on Dwayne Wade's podcast. And this is something I thought was even more insane. So the Heat were stacked. And following that finals loss to the Dallas Mavericks, they tried to trade for Chris Paul. And I heard this and I'm like, what? You got to be kidding me. Now, in fairness, I don't know the details of the trade and who or what might have been involved. But the fact that LeBron needed another Hall of Fame player just further proves what I've always said. But you know what? Since I'm a hater, and I don't know anything, and I just say whatever, right? That's what they tell me. I'm a hater, and I'm the reason that people shouldn't be able to just get in front of a mic and say anything. Let me give it to you from the source, because it's not from me.
But even though people have explained it.
You're talking about the Miami?
But do you remember the call with Brian, you and I, when we were thinking about when Riley wanted to trade to bring you to Miami?
Absolutely.
You remember when I was getting on the phone?
I was sitting in my condo, and CJ was sitting... CJ was sitting on the couch, right? If you go back to my brother, always there. CJ was sitting on the couch, and we was talking about me coming to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
We was talking about me coming to Miami. We was talking about who going to have the ball in their hands, mm-hmm. how it's going to work.
We having a conversation.
Yep, we having a conversation, right? And then who was it? Was it CJ? Was it CJ that said something about who going to wear number three?
Bro, that's what I wanted to get to. We talk about all this about who going to have the ball. Okay, we can all play together now. CP, I can play off the ball. We didn't figure all that out. And somebody said, well, who going to wear number three? Silence.
Listen.
Messed the whole trade
up. That's why the trade ain't happened?
Messed the whole trade up. Because CP could wear number three in Miami. Messed the whole trade up.
I don't know what they was going to do. Because you was older, you probably could have just wore
33. No, I wasn't older.
You was older than me.
I was in my prime.
I know, but because you older than me, you just wear 33.
No. See, and so this is the conversation we're having. And I'm like, that's my number. He's like, well, that's my number.
Yeah, what we gonna do? CP6? No, that ain't it.
So
we didn't get a chance to see this trade because of a number three?
Man,
that's what I'm saying.
Listen.
Wow. I'm saying the trade didn't go down. Riley didn't pull the trigger. Because CP wasn't going to be on number three.
Listen, let me tell you, we had talked for a while, too. We had talked about what the team would look like.
Bro, we started getting excited.
We had talked about what the team would look like, all this different type of stuff. And then I think it was CJ that was sitting over there. He was like, what number you going to wear? What number am I going to wear? What number he going to wear?
So that's crazy, right? Like, I never could have even imagined something like that. But in fairness, and I got to be fair here, right? D. Wade says at the beginning of the clip that Pat Riley wanted to trade to bring Chris Paul to Miami, but we know good and damn well that LeBron would have had to give his consent for that one to happen. And again, in fairness, I've always said that one of the reasons that LeBron ended up leaving Miami was because Pat Riley wasn't letting him run the organization the way he wanted to, and Pat Riley was the dude. But at the same time, Pat Riley not making a mega move like that without LeBron. But my other question is, and this is a side note, even if that trade had gone down, which would have been even more absurd, it wouldn't have worked out. You want to know why? Chris Paul is a pure point guard. He needs to be the decision maker and the passer. He needs the ball in his hands, and LeBron can't play without it. So it wouldn't have worked out, and then he would have got Chris Paul traded, and he would have, behind the scenes, done his passive-aggressive blaming of Chris Paul for the way it worked out. And I'm not assuming that. Well, I am assuming that, but I'm assuming it based on the fact that these are the type of moves that we have seen for the last 21 years. But how can we call anyone the GOAT who makes moves like this? No one else in the GOAT discussion has ever behaved this way, and it's an absurd argument to make. But okay, okay, that's cool. I bet the LeBron fans out there still saying, I don't know what I'm talking about. And the one thing I love about LeBron is if you wait long enough, he will always, always prove my point by either what he says or what he does. So where am I going with it this time? Another thing I've always said about LeBron is that he can only win under very specific circumstances. Why? Because his skill set as a basketball player is limited. I know, I know, I know. It sounds crazy, right? How can somebody who scored the most points ever in basketball history, not just the NBA, but basketball history, which is crazy, right? How can that person and being top five in assists have a limited skill set? Well, great question. Glad you asked. Because if you watched him play all these years, you can tell. He's taken a ton of his shots in the paint near the basket more than any other range. The assists, if you watch them, they happen a lot on drive and kick. And because of the way he plays, any big that plays with him has to sacrifice their game and learn to play another way. So I know, I'm just hating, right? I'm just making stuff up. I didn't play, so I don't know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, yeah, I get it. Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm the reason that they shouldn't just give people a mic and let anybody talk, right? Okay, cool. But don't take it from me. Let's hear it from the guy himself.
Spo is the reason why we were a better team. And our team was more assembled properly. That summer, he went to Oregon and hung out with Chip Kelly.
Oh, interesting.
He when we lost to Dallas, he went to Oregon and hung out with Chip Kelly and learned to spread offense and tried to figure out if he could translate that to basketball. And don't know the super conversations that him and Chip had, but I know when he came back to us, he knew in order for us to reach our potential, one, I had to be fucking 10 times better than I was in that previous June finals. But Chris Bosh had to go to the five. And CB being who he is, there was no pushback. There was no pushback. He knew in order for us to reach our potential that CB would have to go to the five. And we had to spread. He had to start working on his corner three faithfully every day after practice. Corner three every day after practice. We're going to post you up. We're going to get you your elbow catches. The offense is going to run through you at times. But in order to bring, you know, the Tyson Chandlers out of the paint, in order to bring the Roy Hibberts out of the paint, in order to bring Tim Duncan out of the paint at times, in order to bring Kevin Garnett out of the paint, you got to hit these corner threes. You got to at least be a threat. And Spo knew it. He had that vision.
Okay, so there he is again, right? Proving me right once more. Thank you, LeBron. So side note, you hear all of this, but yet this is the same dude who said that he would have had the same career had he never gone to Miami. He said that in November, even though he also told us that the reason he went to Miami, he also said this in November, was to win championships. What is going on? I got to say, I'm not that dumb. He thinks I am, but I'm not. But okay, we'll move on from there. So again, you see what I'm doing here. I'm saying what I have to say. I'm saying the same thing. I'm beating the same drum I've been beating for a long, long time, pretty much since this dude came into the league. But I'm backing it up with his own words. Okay. All right, cool. So you heard in this clip that he had to make Chris Bosh play completely differently in order to win. Because remember, when Chris Bosh was in Toronto, he was a post player. Even, you know, he had mid-range and all that, but he wasn't hanging out shooting threes. He could, but he wasn't really doing that. And this is a guy that was averaging, I think, 24.5 and 11.5, right? So if you're the GOAT, which so many people say LeBron is, why does everyone around you have to change what they do in order for you to have success? It doesn't add up. It doesn't get your calculators. It doesn't add up. So then we hear how he forced the bigs to basically be ineffective in their games so that he can have success. Let's listen to our final LeBron clip that again shows how LeBron James cannot play with big men and has to make them completely change everything for his success.
We had this thing called the Mack truck lane. So from the block to the block. So, say, for instance, we sitting on the free throw line.
Yeah.
You got one block on one side, one block on that side.
I can picture a basketball court, yeah.
We're doing it for the viewers. I'm not questioning JJ's expertise.
No, I know what you're saying.
First day of training camp, we had that whole thing taped off. The bigs were not allowed to run in between the Mack truck lane.
So this is the stuff that I talk about when I say the things that I say. This is why I cannot for the life of me understand how LeBron James has magically been vaulted past the Tim Duncans and the Kobe's and the Magics and the Birds and the Kareems and in some people's eyes, for whatever ridiculous reason, the Michael Jordans. How? I just don't get it. So I've given you example after example of things that I've said and stances that I've taken, and then I've followed it up by giving you words out of this guy's own mouth that prove that what I say is right. But I'm a hater. I'm a hater. I don't know. So once again, I'm gonna tell you, what did I say that wasn't true? So that's kind of where I am on this LeBron thing. And even though I can honestly say that I've learned some stuff from this Mind the Game podcast, which again is a pretty cool show, I appreciate that LeBron is proving me right on every episode, on everything I've said for years. I like it. Thank you, Bron. I appreciate you. So what I want to do right now, if you're listening in and you want to go ahead and give me a call and give me your thoughts on this, I'd love to hear it. Let me put that up on the screen. Yeah, let's go ahead and if you want to, go ahead, give us a call at 904-219-8264. 904-219-8264. I'm going to go ahead and open up those phone lines. I'd love to hear from you. Tell me, am I a hater? Is what I'm saying true? Is LeBron verifying what I've said? Did Chris Paul and Dwayne Wade verify what I've said? Let me know. What am I missing here? How has LeBron James magically vaulted the Birds and the Magics and the Kobe's and the Kareem's and the Duncan's and the Olajuwon's and all these all-time great players, the Wilt Chamberlains and the Bill Russells? How has he managed to do that when all he's done is play with a limited skill set and duck competition? You tell me. All right, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to get to the next topic. No, you don't want to sit here all night, but this one is a really good one. And again, if you have thoughts on the previous topic, you can still go ahead and call in and give me your thoughts on that. Again, that's 904-219-8264. 904-219-8264. Don't hesitate to call in. I definitely want to hear from you. I especially want to hear from LeBron fans, if there's any in the chat that disagree with what I said, or more specifically, disagree with what he said. I would love to hear from you, because I want to go ahead and maybe see what am I missing and get an extra way to look at it. Okay. Hello, you calling the Format Podcast? Who's this?
Yes, this is Jeff TL.
What's going on, man? Do me a favor, turn down YouTube in the background. Got the echo going.
Yeah. I'm gonna mute it.
Thank
Sorry.
You.
Okay, I just did.
Appreciate it.
I just want to comment on LeBron.
Yeah.
And how he's being catapulted with the rest of the greats. I truly believe, and I think there's plenty of evidence that LeBron is nothing but a media creation.
Okay.
I'm not saying he's not the guy is just like an African god. I get that part. Okay.
I agree.
But and of course he's talented. Of course he's talented.
Right.
But he's more hype than substance. There is a guy on YouTube that's been following, you know, his career.
Mm-hmm.
He's called the old angry hoops fan, I believe.
Okay.
And he breaks down. You got to check his stuff, because the guy really breaks down all his games and how, you know, he's a poor 3-point shooter.
Okay.
He travels all the time. He commits offensive foul, but in front of the referee, there's a sequence where this guy shows the video where mm-hmm. where LeBron elbows someone in the chest. The guy goes reeling back, and the referee standing right there.
Mm-hmm.
No other player in the history of the game, no Will, no Russell, no Julius Erving, no Jabbar. I can go on and on. like, you know, you would get away with that.
I agree.
LeBron gets away with that. He gets special treatment.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Now, I can say that Michael Jordan got some special treatment.
That's
but
true.
Not to the point that he's got. Michael Jordan was an amazing athlete, and he was a winner, right?
Yes.
But he never got, you know, okay, so he took an extra step here and there, and they let it go because he was the face of the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
He was the player with the most revenue in terms of endorsement,
mm-hmm.
Cable contracts, major network contracts. So I can understand to a certain extent, because it's still a business, that they would look the other way if you took a third step every now and then. Well, LeBron does this constantly.
Constantly.
This is ridiculous. Constantly. And the referees are standing right there and they don't do anything. Any other player would be called for that. But mm-hmm. LeBron gets this treatment. And, you know, this flopping stuff makes me sick.
So let me say two things. First, and I agree with you for the most part. So first, let me be fair to LeBron. I will say this. Throughout the majority of his career, he's been a poor three-point shooter, especially that this is a three-point shooting era. So I'm not really sure what that's about. But I can say this season, I think he's shooting 41% from three. Now, the fact that it took him 21 years to get there, it's kind of odd. But you got to give credit where he's due. Right. Practice makes perfect. Absolutely. So I will give him credit that he is knocking down the three at a tremendous clip for him this season. So I got to give credit where it's due. But to the other point that you made, superstars to some extent have always gotten the superstar calls. Like I did a show maybe a month and a half ago about Rick Barry talking about the modern game. And a lot of the older fans who grew up and were watching basketball in the 60s and 70s, they were telling me a lot of the carrying and the traveling started with like Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan. Now, I would have to go back and look. I don't recollect it that way. I've been watching basketball since the late 80s. But again, I'll have to go back and check. But I say all that to say superstar players have always gotten the kind of benefit of the doubt and the benefit of the whistle. But to your point, not like LeBron. We have watched this guy bulldoze people, basically put his elbow in their chest and bulldoze them to get to the rim for 21 years now, and no one has seemed to bat an eye or have an issue. So, yeah, you make a great point.
It takes away from the
game. I think it does.
It takes away from the game, brother. It takes away from the game.
I think it does.
When you let someone be so blatant,
mm-hmm.
it turns viewers. You know, I'm 64.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I've seen great players before. I've seen Dr. Game live at the Nassau Coliseum. I sent you a text about that. I was 13 years old. I never forget that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I view on TV, you know, starting with Wilt, moving forward, not so much the Bill Russell era, but at the end of Wilt's career with the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when he was with Philadelphia, I don't remember any of that because I was too young.
Right.
I didn't watch that. I was 8, 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But I started watching basketball when I was 12 to 13.
Right.
And ever since then, I think everyone that has gone through the NBA that has been an all-star, an MVP, and a winner, and a championship winner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And none of them, without a fall, has gotten the treatment LeBron. LeBron is a media creation. The guy...
I really agree with that.
The mercenary, he's a mercenary. Why do I say this? The guy that leaves Cleveland because he couldn't win.
Mm-hmm.
And then goes to Miami where he's got Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade.
Mm-hmm.
And then jumps back to Cleveland because they got so-and-so, Love, and all these other cats.
Mm-hmm.
And Kerry Irving. Come on, man.
And
he's a mercenary.
Yeah, just, and the thing like is, he's...
Durant is a mercenary. Durant is another mercenary.
No, you're right. You're right. And the thing about LeBron is not only that is he's controlling the rosters. And if he feels like he's not getting enough out of the rosters... At the trade deadline, he's gonna. I remember one year in Cleveland, he got like multiple guys traded away and literally rebuilt the team at the trade deadline. Now they ended up going to the finals. I don't think they won, but I mean, the fact is, you can't be the GOAT when you need that much manipulation of every situation around you in order to have success. So let me ask you this. Here's my question. I agree with you on most of what you said. When I was breaking the stuff down and giving the clips and all that, did you hear, and don't be, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, did you hear anything I said that needs correction or that, you know, that wasn't correct?
Well, you know, I do know because of your age group,
mm-hmm.
and because you said it, right? It's not like I know you like that way, but you said that, you know, in the 90s, because you're 43 or 44, whatever the case
might
be. Yeah,
I'm 45, right.
Okay, 45. I'm 64.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm almost 20 years your senior.
Yes.
And I watched basketball through all the eras, right?
Mm-hmm.
Excluding the last, I want to say, the last five years, I watched the Warriors because, you know, I lived many years in Oakland, California.
Okay.
So that was the team that was there, right? And so I support my team,
mm-hmm.
even though I have many issues with the, you know, lofting 3 points, all the plays and prancing around and mm-hmm. the guy step and the other step. And now everybody's
right.
quite okay. If Oscar Robertson was able to do that and some of the great from yesteryear,
yeah,
of course, they'll score 40,000 too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
of course, they'll score 40,000, you know, because those guys were amazing athletes themselves in their own right,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they didn't have 32 teams. So all the talent was concentrated in a
yes.
Boston team.
Yes.
Seen at the most.
Mm-hmm.
That's real. That's solid talent. That is amazing, right? And then, of course, you span the league and it's double the size and everybody's locked in three. You have a guy like Carmelo Anthony that never played defense in his damn life and he scored 28,000 points.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on now.
But he was a problem more offensively, though. Melo could get it done. He could flat out fill it up.
Of course. He wasn't one-dimensional offensive player,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he wasn't as entertaining as another one-dimensional offensive player that I know, Dominique Wilkins.
Mm-hmm.
But at least Dominique Wilkins was the highlight, you know, the film, you know, the highlight.
Yeah, film, the human highlight, you know, film, yeah.
Yeah, because he was amazing.
Yes.
He, offensively, you know, he played very little defense. He wasn't a strong rebounder, but he entertained.
Yes.
And I guess some other people, you know, each to its own, can say that Carmelo Anthony entertained. My daughter liked him because she thought he was cute, right?
Yeah.
You know, she
yeah,
was a teenager then, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she loved Kobe because he was handsome.
Right.
You know, and I said, well, I like him because he's got basketball skills, but I get it.
Yes.
You're a young female and you're very, you know, impressionate. No, she's got a master's degree. She's a nurse. She gave me 2 grandkids. She moved on, you know.
Right.
But you know, it's just to say that I don't think anything you say is off mark. You are a product of your environment and you're a product of the era you were born in.
That's true.
And you were watching heavily in the 90s. So I can't take that away from anybody because mm-hmm. nobody can take away the 70s. And some people go around saying the 70s suck. It's the worst era of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I disagree. I disagree because actually in the 70s, the first half of the 70s, all the way to 76, the NBA had actual competition.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have no one today. The NBA had the ABA.
That's
and
right.
They had David Thompson.
That's right.
Which was the college athlete of the year back in then when he was with NC State. And
mm-hmm.
they had Julius Erving. And they had Spencer Haywood because he wasn't allowed
That's
to
right.
come into the NBA.
And George
and was,
Gervin.
You know, he went all
and
the
Moses
way to
Malone.
The Supreme Court. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know any of that because
mm-hmm.
they don't follow the game. Like old school guys that we follow the game
mm-hmm.
in all its dimensions, not only in who's posting threes from 50 feet out,
mm-hmm.
but you know who did what, and you know who did away with the you know underclassmen rule, et cetera, which LeBron benefited. It was Spencer Haywood, which LeBron benefited
yes.
from it.
And, that's right.
And these other players did not have the luxury of coming straight from high school. Right? Kobe did, right?
Mm-hmm. Kevin Garnett, too.
Right. But Jabbar didn't. How many points would Jabbar have? He would have more than 40 if he had 4 years to mess around with.
Oh, yeah.
He's prime.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Right. Absolutely.
But I don't think anything to say is off mark or anything. You happened. That was your era. My era was the 70s and 80s.
So,
you know?
So here's my thing, though, right? And I appreciate your commentary. My thing is this, though. So I didn't see your era. Like you mentioned, you're nearly 2 decades older than me. I didn't see your era. So you're not going to hear me talking down on your era. Oh, this guy couldn't play and that guy couldn't play. I can't speak to it because I didn't see it. I don't have the historical reference point. And that's a lot of times what I tell the guys that are younger than me when we have this argument, like, it's cool if you default to your era. I get it. And I get that that's your era. And I respect that. But you can't talk about mine when you didn't see it. You know what I mean? And so If I start watching basketball in the late 80s, that means I have a little of the 80s, I have the 90s, I have the early 2000s, the 2010s up to now. So I have, you know, two or three different generations of basketball that I can make reference to. You're ahead of me on that, yeah. Right? So now you have four or five. But if you notice in my content, you will never hear me disrespecting the generations that came before because I didn't see it. I don't know. I can't speak to it. All I can try to do is look objectively what those guys did against their competition. And the one thing that I can say, and I totally agree with you, is that those guys had to play to the rule book and they didn't have the sports science and the sports medicine and the nutrition and the training that guys have today. So to say that, guys going to play, they're all plumbers and firemen. Well, yeah, that's not cool. Because if you were to get a time machine and transport them to today and give them a year or a year and a half of modern training, I bet those guys would wreck shop in the modern NBA because they know how to play. And that was one of the things that Rick Barry said.
Can I say something about that?
Of course.
You hit a crucial point there. And let's not forget, and you hit all the buttons with, you know, sports medicine, blah, 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 strengthening coaches. Hey, nowadays, they have a whole row behind where the players sit, and all those are assistant coaches and therapy people. It's truly amazing,
yes.
You know?
Yes, it is.
See that. But I'm going to tell you something that people don't talk about. Will Chamberlain played with Chuck Taylor. You ever wore Chuck Taylor, my brother?
I've never worn a pair, but I've seen those guys playing it, and I can't figure out for the life of me how they did that. And in the 1962 season.
I wore them when I was a teenager, and I played basketball in them.
That's crazy.
On the middle school, okay?
Right.
And Will used to play 48 minutes
that's
per
right.
game.
Never missed a game in the 62 season.
Taylor.
That's
I
right.
I don't see any of these babies. I'm sorry. I have to say it. I don't see any of these babies playing 40 minutes with Chuck Taylor. Okay? I don't see any of them. They will go to the locker room crying, and they need a break, and they need to be pampered, and they need low management. And, you know, please don't touch them, okay? Let's not go there.
In fairness, their bodies haven't.
Guys couldn't play, yeah, to say that those guys couldn't play, my brother, is a major insult.
I agree.
To the heart those guys were playing against all odds and playing low minutes with no low management, no vision. They went out there limping like Willis 3. Okay? That's a man to me.
No, I'm with you.
LeBron is not a man that way. LeBron fits a lot. He gets low management. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just like an African dog. But you know what? He don't play like an African dog. So
yeah.
To me, that's all I'm going to say about that. And people can get offended by it, but the guy doesn't play defense. I've seen clips where the guy just stands there and lets the ball player go by.
Oh, yeah. That's
because
right.
He's resting.
Yeah, he's resting to get the shots up on offense. That's right.
Yeah, those players from yesteryear, they wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they used to go for the foul sometimes in the playoffs. That's why they did the flagrant foul shit, because they would not let you go through the middle without paying a price. Larry Bird paid the ultimate price going to the middle. Michael Jordan did too. Magic, Isaiah played with a bad ankle in the final.
I remember that.
And he pushed through the paint.
He sure
that's
did.
What ball players.
Yeah.
Real man did
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
okay?
I actually.
LeBron has never shown a heart like that. I'm so sorry, bro. But
nah.
LeBron, as talented as he might be,
mm-hmm.
he has never done anything like it. So, you know, he doesn't have my respect that way.
Yeah, he's not
like
built
is,
the
bro.
Same. He's a different dude. What's your name, my brother? Let me get you in so I can lock you in.
My name is Jaziel. I think I appear in YouTube because I have made many comments and you sent me some love facts. I think it has been as Jaziel Bonilla 007 in YouTube.
Cool.
I think that's what they have been at. I could be wrong, but my name is Jaziel Bonilla. And, you know, I'm just a light-skinned nigga that can't swim, bro, like Paul Mooney famously said, bro. I'm Puerto Rican. I love the game. It's the African part of me. You know what I mean?
I got you,
I love the game, bro. I'm so passionate about the game. And it really pains me to see what he has evolved in the last decade of no defense and just me, and they don't value the history and the track record of and the evolution of the game to what they have now. And, you know, it has deteriorated to something that it's unrecognizable to me. And I'm very sad to say it.
All right, man. Well, listen, thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. I'm going to lock you in, man. And you know we're here Saturday nights. And, of course, you already follow the channel. So I appreciate you, brother.
I'm subscribed, bro. And I'm going to give you a like right now and move on to my series. I'm retired. I got a bad back right now, but I'm going to get over it. I'm going to get better. And amen, bless you, man. You have a great the format podcast. It's really good. There's a lot of junk out there, but you do a great job.
And, I appreciate that.
A lot of blessings to you. A lot of blessings, my brother. Okay.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate you.
Take good care, my brother. Bye bye.
All right, man. All right. So, great call. Thank you, Jesse L. I appreciate you.